أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We pray to Allah عز وجل to make this evening of ours blessful and beneficial. And let's start with making sure our intentions are for the sake of Allah عز وجل. Because you don't want to be wasting your time if you're not going to get any ajr out of it. Let's make sure that we're here for the right reason, and that's to learn and benefit and to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. That should be our objective in everything that we do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use various means of delivering his message across to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and quite often he would use questions. He would ask a question and have the Sahaba think, and then later on he would give him the answer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the message straight ahead, went ahead with the message straight ahead, but it becomes more memorable when you use such instructional methods. Also sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use drawings, he would pick up a stick and he would draw on the sand, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would open up the ears of the Sahaba by letting them know that what he's going to say is important, for example by talking with a note. Or like in the famous hadith of Ibn Abbas, he said, يَا غُلَالِ إِنِّي وَعَلِمُكَ كَلِمَةً. Oh young man, I'm going to teach you a few words. So now Ibn Abbas is attentive. So on this particular occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he had many of the Sahaba with him, what is the tree that is similar to a belief? Tell me about the tree that is similar to a belief. Abdullah ibn Umar said, فَقَابَ الصَّحَابَ فِي شَجَرِ الْبَوَادِ. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum got lost in the desert. They're looking for the trees in the desert. They didn't mean that they actually went to the desert looking for trees. He meant that their minds were set on the desert. They were thinking about the trees of the desert. While really the tree that Rasulullah ﷺ was talking about was right around the corner. They were in Medina. Abdullah ibn Umar knew the answer. But he said, when I looked around and I was the youngest in the audience, and I had the older Sahaba around, Abu Bakr and Umar were there. So who am I? Who am I to give an answer? So out of humbleness and respect to the elders, he did not answer the question. He thought the answer was al-nakhla, the palm tree. Now the Sahaba did not get it. Why? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them the answer. He said, he al-nakhla. It is the palm tree. Now when Abdullah ibn Umar, because he knew the answer when he went back home, he told his father, oh my father, I knew the answer. But I... His father said, why didn't you answer it then, give you the answer? He said, because you were around, and Abu Bakr was around, and I was the youngest. Umar was very upset, and he said, I would rather have had you answer that question than come back home and tell me that you knew the answer. Why didn't you answer the question on the spot? Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, was teaching his son to have courage. You know the answer, stand up and speak up. Why are you afraid? Why are you threatened? What's the problem? Even if there are elders around and you are the youngest in the audience, you know the answer. Go ahead and answer. So Umar ibn Khattab, that's how he was raised his family. He wanted them to be courageous, to be strong, to be outspoken when it comes to al-haq. But that's not our topic. Our topic is the good word and the good tree. Rasulullah ﷺ said that the mu'min is like a palm tree. A palm tree is an evergreen tree. It never loses its leaves and it never loses its color. It's always green throughout the year. The palm tree is also beneficial. It was the providing the Sahaba with the staple fruit. You know, in fact, the only fruit in the world that was at one point of time a staple food for people was the date. Otherwise, you would find the staple food would either be rice, or it would be wheat, or barley, or some seed, grain. Never ever was a fruit, a staple food for a people, except when it came to the fruits of the palm tree. So that tells you something about this blessed tree. Plus, the fruit itself is a blessed fruit. It's a sunnah, for example, to break your fast on what? On dates. And there's a particular type of date that comes from Medina al-Ajwa. Rasulullah ﷺ says, مَنْ تَصَبَّحَ بِسَبْعِ تَمَرَاتٍ عَجْوَةٍ لَنْ يُصِبْهُ أَذًى مِنْ سِحْرٍ أَوْ نَحْوِهِ. If you have had your breakfast every day, 7 Ajwa days, you will not be afflicted with any magic or something similar. So evil eye, magic, all that stuff wouldn't harm you. And Rasulullah ﷺ says, a house that does not have dates in it, its people are hungry. If your fridge is packed with meat, fish, bread, rice, you name it, and you don't have dates, you're hungry. Basin. لَيْسِ فِيهِ ثَمَرٌ أَهْلُهُ جِيَعٌ. So now, there's anybody on those boats who's selling a date, they're going to make some good business this evening. Everybody's going to go out and buy some dates. Maybe I should have made a deal with only one of those brothers before I came in. So the palm tree, Rasulullah ﷺ, he said it's similar to the mu'min. The mu'min is beneficial. The mu'min is always producing good. In fact, Rasulullah ﷺ says in another hadith that Allah Azza wa Jal has created people different. Some people are mafatih lil-khayr, maghaliq lil-shar. Rasulullah said some people are keys to good and some people are keys to evil. Some people are keys to good and they are locked to evil, and some people are keys to evil and they are locked to good. What does this mean? It means that some people by nature, their demeanor, their character, naturally they are beneficial. And wherever they go, you would find them leaving behind them good, and they are closing behind them some of the gates of evil. Naturally. That's how they conduct themselves. While some people, wherever they go, they cause problems. You know, you must know some people like that. Wherever they are, they're causing problems, disputes, arguments. They're happy to be around. And they don't leave any good behind them. An example of one of those people was a poet who lived in the time of Amr ibn Khattab. His name is Al-Hatiyah. Even his name is... I mean, Al-Hatiyah means something low and evil. Even his name is not good. And this man, his poetry was, that's how he achieved success in his life, is by putting down others. So he would make poetry, which is called them. So you would criticize others, you would put them down. And one of his targets, who was slandered by Al-Hatiyah, he came to Umar al-Khattab, and he said, Al-Hatiyah, this is what he said about me. So Umar al-Khattab calls Al-Hatiyah and he throws him in jail. Al-Hatiyah then makes some beautiful lines of poetry. This time they were good. And he was in those lines telling Umar al-Khattab that I had some daughters that I left at home, and I'm their caretaker. Umar al-Khattab released him, but he had him pay 3,000 dinars, and then he distributed that money on some of the people who were slandered by Al-Hatiyah. Anyway, Al-Hatiyah was a man who would cause problems. One day, he leaves his home, and he wants to find somebody to fight him. You know, there are some people, we have a saying in Yemen, there are some people, if they don't find anybody to fight with, they will fight with their own feet. They have to, if they don't find anybody, they will fight with themselves. So Al-Hatiyah leaves his house, and then he says, أبت فتايا اليوم إلا تكلما بشر فلا أدري لمن أنا قائل أرى في وجها قبيحا قبح الله حامله وقبح من وجهه. He said, I see that I am, so he left his house, he didn't find anybody on the street. He went back home, and he looked himself in the mirror. He says, I left my house today, and my lips want to speak evil, but I didn't find anybody to speak it to. So I looked in the mirror, and I saw a very ugly face. So, that is an ugly face, and may Allah make it even uglier. Make it God give himself. So this is an example of somebody who is مغلاق للخير مفتاح للشر. He is a lock to good and a key to evil. But the mu'min should be a key to good and a lock to evil. If you are a type of person who is causing problems, causing arguments, causing fitness, change yourself. Because that's not how a mu'min carries himself around. A mu'min, Iman stands for good. You're always, always benefiting others because that's how you benefit yourself. So we need to be مفاتيح للخير مغاليق للشر. Let's read the ayah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون ومثل كلمة خبيثة كشجرة خبيثة اجتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الدنيا والآخرة في الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, see you not how Allah sets forth a parable, a goodly word as a goodly tree, whose root is firmly fixed and its branches reach to the sky, giving its fruit at all times by the leave of its Lord. And Allah sets forth parables for mankind in order that they may remember. And the parable of an evil word is that of an evil tree, uprooted from the surface of the earth, having no stability. Ibn Abbas says, a good word is, La ilaha illallah. That's a good word. That's kalima tayyiba. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Kalima tawheed. And the good tree, Ibn Abbas says, is the believer. So the good word is La ilaha illallah, and the good tree is the believer. The roots are digging deep, and they're being nourished, while the branches are reached into the sky. In other words, the good that is coming out of this tree, the heart of the believer, reaches to the sky. It penetrates the heavens, and it reaches to the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the sessions of dhikr, when people come together and they mention the name of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angels in the sky see those sessions of dhikr like you see stars in the sky. And just as we would use the stars of the sky to be guided in our traveling, the angels are going to use those stars of the earth to guide them in their traveling. Because where are the angels traveling to? They're traveling to attend the halaqah of dhikr. وحفتهم الملائكة. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the believers come together, يقرؤون القرآن ويتدارسونه بينهم and they recite the Quran and they're studying it amongst themselves. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives them four things. Allah will give them sakina, tranquility. Allah will give them mercy, rahmah. حفتهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة. And the angels will surround them. وذكرهم الله في من عنده. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention them like they are mentioning him. But Rasulullah said he will be mentioning them in a better gathering. Now, brothers and sisters, as a human being naturally, you want to be known. You want to be recognized. Recognition is a natural human trait. Don't feel bad about it. Everybody wants to be recognized. Islam doesn't tell you that you shouldn't be recognized. Islam channels your feelings in the right way. So rather than seek recognition from the creation like you, who are equal to you, Allah tells us no. I'm going to recognize you. Rather than seek recognition from a human being like you, seek recognition from me. Rather than fear a creation like you, fear me. Rather than your love, you give your utmost love to a creation like you, give that love to me. So Islam preserves those natural feelings that you have as a human being, but Allah Azza wa Jal channels them in the right direction. Musa alayhi salam, whom we know as a very powerful Nabi, he used to have fear. He was afraid. When he was right at the moment when he was appointed prophet, and he was Allah Azza wa Jal was speaking to him, what happened to Musa? Allah told Musa, throw your staff. Now Musa grew up with his staff. He knows his stick very well. Allah told him to throw it. As soon as he threw it, it turned into a serpent. Musa couldn't believe his eyes. What did he do? Allah says in Quran, فَوَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. He did it right away. He was afraid. Musa alayhi salam, the son, man had fear. But then when Allah Azza wa Jal introduced him into Nubuwwah, he became a prophet. And then Allah Azza wa Jal was raising him up under his watchful eye. Nothing can shake the heart of Musa. Why? Because now Musa fears Allah, he doesn't fear the creation. So Allah wants you to channel those natural feelings in the right way. You want to be recognized. So, for example, you go outside now and you find the Standard Evening and has your photo on the front page and says, and it gives you this wonderful title, you're the best man in the world or the best woman in the world or whatever. You're going to be a lazy man. Your head will become so big. You'll be so happy. And you'll buy many copies. First time you buy the Standard Evening, you never paid a penny for it. And now you're going to buy all of those copies and you're going to hand them over to your friends and take it to your mom and dad and see. You should be proud of your son or daughter. And you're so happy. And you won't be able to sleep. Why? Because you've been recognized. And then you go and watch TV, the BBC. Breaking news. You're the best person that's ever lived. You'll be very happy. Very, very happy. Why? Because they mention your name. Brothers and sisters, when you mention the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla in a session of dhikr, Allah Azza wa Jalla himself, the creator of the creation, will mention your name in a better audience. He will mention your name to the angels. Can't get any better than that. Can't get any better. So go for what Allah promised you. Forget about what your heart tells you. Go with what Allah has promised you. It's better for you. That's what we were saying about the light. We said that the tree reaches, the branches of the tree reach to the heavens. This spark of light penetrates the darkness of the heavens with the dhikr of Allah. Yunus alayhi salam was in trouble. He had committed a mistake, and because of that mistake, Allah Azza wa Jal had a fish swallow him. And you might know the story of Yunus, so we'll not go through the whole thing. Yunus alayhi salam was stuck in the stomach of a whale. Ibn Kathir mentions the opinions of some of the Basri. He said when Yunus woke up, because he lost consciousness, he drowned in the sea, and then when he woke up, he was in the stomach of the whale. So what did he think? He thought, this is my grave. When he first woke up, he thought that he was in his grave. But it didn't take him long to recognize that he's not in his grave. He went touching around, very wet, and the stomach of fish are produce some very powerful digestive enzymes. Very powerful. It just makes the meat dissolve. So, Yunus was dissolving. His skin was peeling out. And the enzymes were burning his flesh. So he knew that he's not in a grave. He's in the stomach of a fish, which is not a very comfortable place. It's not a five-star hotel. Third. What did Yunus do? Alayhi salam, he made a sujood.
And he said, "Oh Allah, I'm making sujood to you in a place where no one made sujood before." And then he made this beautiful dua, and I don't want any one of you to leave. If I were to remember from my copy this, that will be enough. I don't want any of you to leave without remembering and memorizing this dua. Because it is so important, Allah mentions this in Quran, in Surah Al-Anbiya. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. That dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla was like a lightning that went, that penetrated the three levels of darkness that Yunus was under. The darkness of the stomach of the fish, the darkness of the sea, and the darkness of the night. And it goes all the way up, and the angels hear it. Now because Yunus was well connected, not in dunya, but with the creation of the heavens, they all knew him. Because he was famous. He was very famous. The angels knew him. Maybe he wasn't known on earth. Maybe he was an obscure human being. But when it came to the angels, they knew him very well. Why? Because of his good deeds. So the angels, look at what the angels did. They acted as lawyers for Yunus alayhi salam. They went to Allah Azza wa Jalla and said, "Oh Allah, isn't this the voice of Yunus alayhi salam, whom we used to see his good deeds going up every day and every night?" They knew him very well because they could see his hasanat going up into heaven. Every day and every night they saw his words, these good words, reaching for Allah Azza wa Jalla, so they knew him. So they volunteered to be his lawyers without pay, free. And they went to Allah Azza wa Jalla and they said, "Oh Allah, aren't you going to have mercy on him?" Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Yes, I will." The angels said, "Shafa'a for Yunus?" "Yes, I will." And then Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us the reason why. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. If it wasn't because Yunus used to make tasbih before, he would have remained in the stomach of the whale until the day of judgment. It was because of his track record. It was because of his deed. It was because of what he had done yesterday, Allah saved him today. So dear brother and sister, make sure that your actions reach to the heavens. Because Rasulullah asked the Sahaba, he said, "Your belongings in dunya, if you pile them above your shoulder, will they reach to the heavens?" They said, "No." Rasulullah said, "But your good deeds will." Your belongings of dunya can only go so far. But when it comes to your hasanat, they will reach to the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So make sure that your actions are good words. Make sure that La ilaha illallah is what you live for and what you die for. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say that your life, that your salah, your sacrifice, your life and death is for Allah Azza wa Jalla. You live for La ilaha illallah and you die for La ilaha illallah. Yunus alayhi salam, because of his CV, it helps him when he was in trouble. So make sure that you have some good deeds to help you when you're in deep trouble. And keep in mind, and I give myself this reminder to everyone, that whatever evil we do will come to haunt us one day. Don't think that when you're young now you can do whatever you want. Go and drink, enjoy yourself, have a little girlfriend, party, and then I'm going to make tawbah and make hajj and that will take care of it all. It's not that easy. Don't try to outsmart Allah Azza wa Jalla. Never try to make masr on Allah, because Allah is khayrul makirin. Allah is the best of plotters and the best of planners. You know those people in Surah Al-Qalam, it talks about they were plotting to prevent the poor from getting the harvest. While they were plotting, Allah burned their farm. Plot as you wish. You think that you're going to hide from Allah? Your farm is burning. So never try to plot against Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do good now, because whatever you do now will haunt you later. Your good deeds will come back to you, and your bad deeds will come back to you. Now it will tell you. And this is also I'm trying to relate all of this to the good word. We talked about the good word and how it reaches to the heavens. Now, never belittle any good word. Never belittle any good action. Because Ibn al-Qayyim has an interesting theory that he mentions in his book, الدواء الكافي لمن سأل عن الجواب الشافي. الجواب الشافي لمن سأل عن الدواء الكافي. It's a book that he has written in response to somebody who had an addiction. This person sends him a letter asking Ibn al-Qayyim for a cure for his addiction. So he writes a book in response to that letter, Al-Jawab al-Kafi. He mentions in that book that good deeds multiply and bad deeds multiply. It's like a chain reaction. To give you an example of what Al-Sayyid is talking about, you were debating with yourself whether to come to the big lake dinner or not. You have some other commitments, you cancel them. Alright? You wanted to watch TV, you wanted to play with your PS2 or whatever your problem is. You wanted to make a friend, but you decided, well, let me just go, it's £5, not a lot of money, I'll just go. So you decided to come. Alright, let's look at it. You took that decision to come, so that's one good deed, right? That's one good deed, the intention to come. It's one good deed. Let's look at the consequences of that one good deed. You drove to this venue, so you're receiving us. You come here, you see your Muslim friends, you shake hands with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when the Muslims meet and they shake hands, their sins drop. So you got hasanat. Not only you got hasanat, but some of the sins were forgiven. And then you give salam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. You did it about 20 times. You get the ajr for every salam that you gave. You pray salah in jama'ah, while at home you're not going to pray that jama'ah. So you get the ajr of 27. You come down here and you listen to talk that inshallah we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, they would inspire you to do good, so you're getting some hasanat. And even if you weren't inspired and you're asleep, you're still getting the edge of being here because it's a blood gathering, and even if you're asleep, you're still getting the edge. That's not to encourage you to go to sleep. Don't worry, if I'm putting you to sleep, surely I won't. And then you go out to the booths outside, and you see a book that you buy it, you see a cassette that you buy it. So that money that you spend, you're getting ajr for it. You go back home, you listen to it, you get some ajr. See how one good deed is multiplying? It's a chain reaction. So the thing is, all that you have to do is take that small decision and take one step forward and leave the rest on Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you walk towards Allah, Allah will walk towards you. You take one step towards Allah, Allah will take many steps towards you. You just do your part, small part, and Allah will help you with the rest. Don't worry. So the good deeds multiply. Finally, brothers and sisters, we complain a lot about our times and say, alhamdulillah, these are very bad times. You know, the Muslims are disunited and our situation and our land is occupied, and we complain a lot. نَعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْدُ بِيَنَا وَمَارِ زَمَانَنَا عَيْدُ سِوَانَا. We are complaining about our times when the blame is on us. But I always look at it differently, and I would say that we are living in special times. We're living in very special times. Why were the Sahaba better than the Tabi'in? One of the reasons is because the Tabi'in came and everything was ready. Everything was already done. The Khilaf is established, the Masajid are built, the Sahaba, they have spilled their blood in Sabilillah, and they brought Islam to the doorsteps of the Tabi'in.
right?
And the books are around, and the Quran is being collected, and the Imams are already trained, and the Hafiz are already memorized Quran. Everything was ready for it happening. Things were easy. So that made their status lower than the Sahaba, because the Sahaba started it from scratch. The Sahaba were the ones who built the palace, while the Tabi'in came and rented it. Why are our times special? Because it's a golden opportunity for you to do what the Sahaba did. And that opportunity was not given to anybody before you. Nobody had that opportunity. No one. But you had it. You can start building Islam, erecting it from scratch. What a great opportunity that is. So that's why Rasulullah is saying there will be in the end of time people, when they do one good deed, it will count as 50. So the Sahaba said 50 of our good deeds or 50 of theirs. He said 50 of yours. 50 of yours. And Allah said the time will come when if you're holding your religion, it's like you're holding a hot coal in your hand. But the thing is, the ajr in those days is multiplied. The ajr is greater. Because the fitna is greater. So if Allah has blessed you and guided you to the truth and brought you here, say alhamdulillah for what Allah has given you. It's a lot to praise Allah for. Because Allah has chosen you. You didn't choose yourself. Allah has chosen you to be one of the few who are practicing Islam in these days of life. The Muslims are a billion plus. Most of them are not practicing. So if you are practicing, say, alhamdulillah, because there is no blessing greater than being guided to the straight path. This is the dua that we make most frequently. Surah Al-Fatiha is a dua. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. And that's the du'a that you make most often, because it's the most important du'a to make. So you are very blessed, make sure that you don't waste this golden opportunity. You are going to regret it on the day of judgment when you see the hasanat that you get. You're going to say, I wish that I never lost a moment. I wish that I never lost a day in my life. Take advantage of what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Use it wisely. And make sure that you don't work and then not get paid for your efforts. You know how that could happen? If you don't have a lot. You will be working and working and working, and then you won't be paid for it. Make sure that you're paid for what you do. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide us all. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us like a palm tree, a blessed tree. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to plant in our hearts the good word of La ilaha illallah. And to make our branches reach to the heaven. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.